We are grateful to God for allowing us to live in these serious times with open eyes and hearts and with a clear vision He has given us. Times have never been as serious as they are now, and we can say with complete certainty that in terms of political and religious developments, more has happened in the last 5 years than in the last 50 years. And we notice that when things start to happen, they happen quickly. They happen so quickly that even reporters have trouble keeping up and become afraid that they are no longer up to date with what they have to report, say, or write. Today I will briefly touch on the end time developments that we have touched on often enough. It happened last week, that is not the week that has just passed, but the week before, that a brother called me and asked me if I knew where Brother Branham said that when the Berlin Wall fell, something would happen. And I probably know Brother Branham's sermons better than anyone else. That's not to my credit. It's simply because I've been listening to them since the 1950s and have listened to them over and over again, and because I've translated them all here through the headphones and there on the typewriter and proofread them all. And so I said to the brother, Brother Branham didn't say anything about the Berlin Wall being removed. But then he said, oh yes, he did say something. Yes, I liked that better when he said, oh yes, he did say something. And then I took the corresponding sermon, and lo and behold, he not only said something, but he said something very important. Something very important. Yes, so it happened that I began to listen. I don't often mention Brother Branham in this place or play one of his sermons, although I'm convinced in my heart that he had the same ministry as Paul, and there have been no two men like these two since early Christianity. To go one step further, he probably had a greater ministry, but God Himself may judge greatness. We will just rejoice that the Lord sends His servants and prophets at all times. We will read two or three passages, and then I will play it for you and briefly go into it. From the second epistle of Peter, chapter 1, I will read verse 19, which we all know. The singers sang about the light, and our Lord said, walk in the light while you have the light. And He Himself said, I have come into the world as light, and whoever follows Me will not remain in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then it is written, Thy word is a lamp unto My feet. Psalm 119, verse 105. We all know this passage. The word of God is a lamp to our feet. But when is it a lamp unto our feet? When it is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit in its divine meaning. then the world is a lamp unto our feet. Because we have entered a prophetic age, let us read the corresponding word from 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Brother Rus, as I heard it in the prayer room, read from Psalm 147, I would just like to repeat the second verse very briefly. Psalm 147, the Lord does build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. We have seen this with our own eyes. Let me read Luke 21. Verses 29-33. Luke 21. What did I just say? No, I would like to read verse 24 first, and then verse 29. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Jerusalem has been trodden down for a very long time. Since the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the people of Israel has never been master in its own land. Scattered, persecuted, murdered, gassed, burned, the people of God have gone through a difficult path of suffering and have been scattered among all nations. And here it says, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We have heard that the Lord will rebuild Jerusalem. How many scriptures could be read now? Jeremiah 31, one of the most beautiful scriptures, in the prophet Ezekiel, in Isaiah, everywhere it can be read. As far as the end times and the return of the people of Israel are concerned, we can read briefly in Zechariah 12 that the Lord will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone at that time. Not only all of Israel, but specifically Jerusalem will be made a burdensome stone. Zechariah 12, verse 3. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. We do not need to read any further, but it is very interesting to know what will happen next. The scattered people, the often destroyed city, will suddenly become the center, the stumbling block for all nations. It is important for us to know that when the scattering comes to an end and the people are gathered together, the people of Israel, that is the time when the time for the nations will run out, when it will come to an end. And that is the time when the Lord will bring things to a conclusion, to completion, with a bride church. Then take them to Himself, and then reveal Himself to the people of Israel. Then it says in Luke 21, from verse 29, a verse often read, "And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." What certainty is in this text? Behind these words stands the absolute of our God. There is no shaking, there is no steering. He has spoken, and so it is, and so it will be. That is the sublime thing about the Word of God, that it will come to pass as the mouth of the Lord has said. And those who do not yet want to believe it will have to believe it. For we all know that when it is written here, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Everything will happen according to the Word. What prompts me to read this text here is the following: that it does not only speak of one tree, the fig tree, namely the nation of Israel, but it also says, "and all the other trees." Not only will one nation obtain its rights, albeit through much tribulation, but all other peoples who have been oppressed by other great powers will rise up to assert their rights. Not only the people of Israel, but all other nations as well. And anyone who studied a little history at school, he knows, or anyone who observed the period after the war, how immediately after the war, I almost exaggerated, but really dozens of countries became independent. The great India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Jordan, and Egypt, and all the others. Have you counted all the nations that were under the British crown at that time? There were 49 of them. All of them became independent, all of them. All the trees have blossomed, have thrown off the yoke that oppressed them. And what are we experiencing now, at the end of this generation? That there is another outbreak. The yoke is being broken. The nations want their independence, even if they have to take to the streets to get it. Oppression has come to an end, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. It is happening in the same generation, at the beginning of this generation, and now at the end. The last nations are rising up from the yoke that has oppressed them until now. There is a wonderful passage in the Gospel of Matthew that we all know very well, but let me read it to you. Matthew 24, the first three verses. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him, for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? That was the first question. There shall not be left here one stone upon another, referring to the temple. Tell us, when will this happen? First question. The second, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? The third, and of the end of the world. Three questions require three answers. And when reading the Bible, one must indeed pay attention to every sentence, every utterance. And it is not enough to pay attention. One must pay close attention to the context, to the time period to which it belongs. It means to rightly divide the word. And that is why even back then James said, Let no one think himself to be a teacher, for we shall receive a stricter judgment if we teach something that cannot stand before God. So, let us teach only what God wants us to say. Before I play just 2, 4, or 10 lines from Brother Branham's sermon, I would like to read just a few lines from a sermon entitled The 70 Weeks of Daniel, preached on the 6th of August, 1961. Just a few lines. You all know I come here to read from the Holy Scriptures and preach from them. But it seems very important to me that we take the developments that are now taking place seriously. I will now simply read how a German would translate the English text simultaneously without having translated it beforehand. I wasn't against Germany. It was the Nazism. I wasn't against Italians. It was against fascism. And remember, I made another prediction in that time. Just a prediction. And many of you old-timers remember it. I said, there's three great isms trying to take hold in the world today. Fascism, Nazism, and Communism. And what did I say? They would all wind up in communism. Well, we all know that much. Mussolini was hanged upside down, and with that, fascism was already hanging from the ceiling, and it was over. Hitler, as is well known, had Eva Braun pour petrol over him and set him on fire. And his death was mysterious, as they say. But in any case, he's no longer. And National Socialism, as a power, has long since disappeared. But what remains? Communism. And I have actually looked up the statistics. There are over 700 million communists around the world. I have also read that in the few days since the Berlin Wall came down, over 80 million have already left the party and the rest are on their way out. You can already hear their footsteps on all the streets. But listen to what comes next. That was fascism, national socialism, communism. And I said it will all end in communism. Today we have a mixture like never before. Now listen to the next sentence. Then I just had you all to repeat it over. Keep your eyes on Russia. Remember that? Keep your eyes on Russia. Remember that? Keep your eyes on Russia. I read on. She will all wind up in communism. And then it will all wind up finally in Catholicism. In Catholicism. And I want everyone to understand. Heaven, listen, and earth, hear. I want everyone to understand that we do not condemn a religion or the people who belong to it with contempt in this place. Every person under the sun is equal, and if God does not have mercy on him, he will be lost. This is not about condemning loving people who belong to an institution, but about classifying this institution in some way according to the Bible, in order to make clear how things are going now. And so we see here, I will continue reading, remember, so he repeats, remember, it will all wind up in Catholicism, in the end time. All the isms, all those things were, but they are no longer the first ones we read about here anyway. And communism is indeed bowing down. People are all going to the Pope, from the East and West. Is that so or is it not so? And when I heard that Billy Graham had now visited the Pope for the third time, I got goosebumps. Everyone wants to be famous. Everyone wants to sit at the green table. I want to be in glory at the marriage supper, whatever the cost. And the prophets and apostles gave their lives for the proclamation of the truth. All the others, or many others, gave their lives so that the truth would be preserved for us. When you consider the effort it took and the circumstances to translate the Holy Scriptures, but we are grateful to God that we have His Word in all our languages. Do you understand what I have read here? Do you understand that this is the end time development? One cannot separate these things from one another. We are on this earth and we see what developments are now taking place. As I just said, and Brother Branham specifically mentioned, keep your eyes on Russia. I recently read that it has not even been 100 years since Russia established diplomatic relations with the United States. Who would have thought of that back then? Today it is a world empire, the great world empire, and all other empires must place their own power at the disposal of the beast until the words of God are fulfilled, as it is written in Revelation 18. I can read it right away. It is better if I read it so that you know where it is written and how it is written. It is simply very important. Yes, it's 17. We do not want to go into detail here about the symbols with the 10 horns which you saw on the beast. Revelation 17, verse 16. Here it says, "These shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire." You just have to notice this contrast here. So there's a group of horns. You know, the Lamb is also shown with 7 horns and 7 eyes. Horns in the Bible signify power, a kingdom, just as a beast signifies power. But when a beast is shown with 10 horns, it means that some of his entire power will rise up, will shoot up in a special way. And when it speaks of 7 heads, it means that 7 special heads will rule and lead the whole thing from this entire concentration of power. No matter how many horns and how many heads there are, they have no prophetic significance. That is why they are not mentioned at all. We read on that this group, the 10-horned group, shall hate the whore, and shall make her naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. And then comes now this statement in verse 17. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill His will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And so that no one here acts as we did when we were 4 or 5 years old. It hangs on the wall and ticks. What is it? So that no one needs to guess or know what time it is. Let us also read the last verse in chapter 17. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And this woman rides on the beast. Who needs an interpretation of this? No one anymore, right? Anyone who has read the Bible and has the Spirit of God must see this. They cannot do otherwise. If we truly claim to have been enlightened, to have come to the Lord, I am only saying what He Himself said. He Himself said, "Whoever follows Me will not remain in darkness, but will have the light of life." If people remain in darkness, then they are not following the Lord, who is the light Himself. If they follow Him, who is the light, they too will experience enlightenment and no longer be in darkness. Now I come to the quote concerning Berlin. And you can sit down and hold on tight. Brother Branham did indeed say something about Berlin. And you know, with his education, although I take my hat off to him, he certainly did not know as much as other professors. But I will just let you hear it in the original English. It won't take 2 minutes. and then I will read it in German. I don't want to translate in between.
There will come a teaching rain. What is it? Putting the seeds into the earth. What's that? What's going on? Well, we find out that there's been a teaching rain going on. The Baptist people, 1 million more in 44 was their goal. Members of the church. Billy Graham's great revivals, like great evangelists, look what he done. Look at Oral Roberts and the Pentecostals. There's been a teaching rain gone forth. There's been a national teaching rain. Communism sowed amongst the people. Every nation. There's been a Roman revival. You know what happens? If they give the western part or the eastern part of Berlin back, that puts communism, the Roman Empire, just exactly in the old circle it was in the time of Jesus. Certainly it does. Perfectly. There's a revival going on.
I'll read it to you, so that you all understand it clearly. I know names are similar, especially city names. There will come a teaching rain. What is it? Putting the seeds into the earth. What's happened? What's gone on? Well, we find out that there's been a teaching rain going on. The Baptist people, 1 million more in 44 was their goal. Members of the church. Billy Graham's great revivals. That great evangelist. Look what he done. Look at Oral Roberts and the Pentecostals. There's been a teaching rain gone forth. There's been a national teaching rain. Communism sowed amongst the people, every nation. There's been a Roman revival. Do you know what happens?
Moment. Ihr wisst ja, was geschieht. Wenn sie den Westteil,
if they give the western part or the eastern part of Berlin back, that puts communism just, or I mean the Roman Empire, just exactly in the old circle it was in the time of Jesus. Certainly it does. Perfectly. I'm grateful to the brother who called me. He really calls. But I want to thank him sincerely. Brother Branham made the following statement on the 19th of March, 1962, when the eastern part of Berlin is returned, communism will be finished. That will bring the Roman Empire exactly to the position it was in during the days of Jesus. Have you all read the book? And you can be sure that I had no idea about this when I wrote it. I have specifically translated the sermons since the opening of the seals in March 1963 and studied them. And I'm also familiar with the others, but not as thoroughly. But imagine, when was it? On the 13th of August, 1961, the wall was built. On the 19th of March, 1962, a man of God over in America said, when the eastern part of Berlin is returned, didn't Mr. Honecker say, just 6 months earlier, the wall will stand for another 100 years? God casts kings from their thrones. He appoints and he removes. I am grateful to the Lord that there was a man who was a seer, who saw visions from God. And I have already said this here. He did not need to close his eyes to do so. He was a seer. He had his eyes open and looked at people. Yet he saw things in a dimension that was imperceptible to us or to our five senses, things that God showed and revealed to him. Here we are told, teaching rain. All have spread their teachings. What has not been printed? Maoism, Stalinism, Leninism, Marxism, and many other isms that have existed, whether political or religious, all have sown mightily. And at some point, what has been sown will be reaped. And Brother Branham then summarized that the word for the bride was also sown, and that this word will sprout when the latter rain falls on the word, and then the mighty things will happen. But look here. I'm glad that it was 62 and not 64, because in 64 the Pope made his first trip to Jerusalem, and I felt very sick about it. But I would like to repeat the sentence he says here. There was a revival in Rome. Until our time, these rulers remained behind their four walls. And those who want to see them brought gifts. I have seen the gifts in the treasure chambers of the Vatican 2 or 3 times with my own eyes. Who gave the gift and what it was given for? Brokering deals, trade relations, and so on. You all know I also received a revelation there. But what was I about to say? Everyone else stayed there. And the current one? And the current one? He flies all over the world. Why? Because it is written that all people will be seduced, all except those whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain from before the foundation of the world. My beloved brothers and sisters, who come from the Soviet Union, you should hear people talk about how excited they are that religion is free again. They rejoice over the bishops with their hats, whom Gorbachev greeted, and so on. We also rejoice that relief has come. We rejoice over open borders, over open doors, and even more over open hearts. But we also rejoice that in the midst of all these joyful developments, God has shown us the danger looming on the horizon. And all those who do not accept the mark of the beast will then have to go through trials anyway. Beloved, the days are short, the time is serious, and the coming of the Lord is near. When the eastern part of Berlin is returned, that will be the end of communism. As I said before, over 80 million people have left in a few weeks. I would like to know how many more will leave. And do you know where all the roads lead? They all lead to Rome. Is that still a secret? It is no longer a secret. But what does the Holy Scripture say? Ye, my people, come out. Be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Then I will be your father, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Then, not before, when someone says, Our Father who art in heaven, what do they mean by that? People only have a relationship with God as their Father when they are begotten of God, born of God. Could anyone here, from an earthly point of view, call anyone else Father? That is not possible. A father is someone who has begotten children, and only those who are born of God have God as their Father and no one else. And that is why our Lord said, ye must be born again. Otherwise, you will not see the kingdom of God. And the Lord tells us here in the text we have read, the kingdom of God is near, but we can only see it if we are born of God and transferred into it. Beloved, I do not want to make any secret of my deep joy at what Brother Branham said at that time. A man of God is confirmed by the fulfillment of what he has prophesied. And not everyone who comes to Krefeld once and gives a prophecy and then leaves is a prophet, but a man of God was proven year after year without a single misfire or error, but everything was confirmed as true, and no trivial things such as, I am the Lord, I bless you, and am with you. This I can tell you from here without straining myself to give a prophecy. When something is predicted, or when God speaks through a man, there must be substance behind it. I have also read here in the sermon about the other things, how Brother Branham said in 1933 that Mussolini would invade Abyssinia in particular, today's Ethiopia, and defeat it, and how Hitler would wage war, and how in the end the secret line would be built, our Western Wall towards the French border. He saw that America would be involved in the war and said, we will be at war with Germany. He predicted all the things that would come in 1933, the falling away, what would happen politically and religiously. And on top of that, most importantly, he preached the word of the apostles and prophets crystal clear because of his divine calling. Perhaps his experiences were deeper than mine, or perhaps those of many others, but I'm convinced that he knew what he was saying, even if we do not yet know what he was saying at that time. And I have often or several times found myself in my life that a moment came and I said, listen, man of God, I don't see it that way. But I kept my mouth shut, and there is that wonderful word in the prophet Isaiah, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. That is the key to God's help, to the solution of every problem that may arise and be pending. Such things are not answered by discussion, but by revelation from the Holy Spirit. As I said before, we see this development before us, among us, in such a way that we must say to ourselves, the return of the Lord is very near. I said it earlier, at the beginning of this generation, after the Second World War, the revival of all the other nations, now the last ones are waking up. They were suppressed with all possible force. There was not a Gandhi everywhere who could protest peacefully. There were also others who could keep the people under their power. But now, nothing can be held back, and certainly not where the Church intervenes as an instrument. That is always where things go best. We are pleased about the latest developments. May they lead to an end. May they accelerate everything that is yet to happen, but also accelerate us. There is no point in saying things are all happening at breakneck speed. At what speed are we moving forward? Let me use an earthly comparison. You all know I'm also getting older, and with the responsibility, with everything that my life has experienced along the way. Sometimes I have days when I feel as if my shoes are made of lead. They seem so heavy, but they are not that heavy. My strength has diminished. On Wednesday evening, I left my glasses somewhere. I don't know where they are. I'm wearing an old pair today. I'm growing weaker. But beloved, in spirit, I see things more clearly. I don't need human glasses to see through. The Spirit of God reveals everything so clearly and distinctly. I am grateful to God for sending his servant and prophet, who placed the prophetic word, the Bible teachings, the apostolic practice upon the lampstand. And God has confirmed the word with signs and wonders, such as have not been seen on earth since the days of Jesus. And God will certainly not confirm error, but only his word. That's how we read it. That is why we are grateful from the bottom of our hearts. We also see the predicted political developments and events coming to pass, one after another. They are happening, as was said so many years ago. Would you have expected this to happen tonight? No, you would not have expected it. Thanks be to the Lord, who still has surprises in store for us. Thanks be to God for his living word, his word revealed through the Holy Spirit, which we have received. May God grant us a speed increase, so that we do not lag behind and only talk about the things that are happening quickly, but say, Lord, do something among us too. Begin for the praise and honor of your name. And as I have often said, if you want to serve the Lord, start today, not tomorrow. If you want to serve the Lord, start today. May God bless us all from the riches of his grace. Amen. Let us stand and pray together. Faithful God, we thank you together, O Lord, for this evening. We thank you for your precious and holy word, which you have placed upon the lampstand. We thank you, Lord, that you open the eyes of your people, that you give them eyeself, that we may see with seeing eyes in what time, in what hour we have arrived. Receive the glory, the praise, and worship, O Lord. Lord, we know that everything must happen according to your foreseen counsel. Heaven and earth will pass away, as we have read, but what your holy mouth has spoken must be fulfilled, Lord. Among the nations, Lord, among all, Lord, also among your people Israel, and also among your bright church, Lord. Everything must be fulfilled, for your words are true and certain, Lord. They are being fulfilled before our eyes, Lord. Lord, we thank you sincerely that we may perceive it. Lord, what a blessing it is. But in those days, you took your disciples aside and spoke to them and revealed the mysteries to them, Lord. To the others you spoke in parables. Praise and thanks, glory and worship we brought to you in this evening hour, for your clear speech, for your word, We thank you for your prophet, whom you sent, for we know that through him you spoke and revealed what is to come, Lord. Today we see it with our own eyes, what is being fulfilled. Hallelujah. Praise and thanks, glory and worship be to your glorious and wonderful name of Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We worship you. You are ours. We are your people, Lord. O Lord, I ask you to give everyone certainty, Lord. Give everyone a refreshing through your Holy Spirit. Lord, grant us joy that we may begin to give thanks and praise your name, Lord. Cease all murmuring, Lord, all complaining, that we may offer you honor and praise and worship. Hallelujah. Praise, honor and thanks and worship be to you, the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen.